Join me in 1 Samuel as we make our way back to the book of the Bible we are in. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hear the reading of God's holy word. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penani. And Penani had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penani, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.'" And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him only. May the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up and with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy, inspired, inerrant word. I draw your attention to the title of the sermon as I've given it: The Earnest Prayer of a Believer. Prayer. The children, as I ask them the prayer, their answer is as simple as it can be and as truthful. And Billy Graham agrees. He states that prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. Sometimes we make it so much more difficult than that, but it is simply a conversation between you, me, and God. And prayer is a conversation between a father and a child. Prayer is a simple conversation between the saved, you and me, and the Savior. But I ask a question, because I think this needs to be asked, because there are so many today who look at prayer in the activity of itself being the end of the means and not ultimately an instrument. But I ask the question, is the activity of prayer in and of itself enough? To say that one prays, have we really said anything? Many belief systems around the world promote prayer, but I ask, is prayer offered to an unknown God, to a being that's not there, that doesn't exist, really accomplish anything at all? When someone says, our thoughts and our prayers go out to those, and if this person is not a believer, have they really said anything at all? It might be a nice sentiment, but is there value in a prayer offered by one that does not know the Lord God? For some, the activity of prayer is enough. And the object of one being prayed to is not there or concerned. Jesus said, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. A very detailed description of to whom we are to pray. Prayer addressed to the Father in heaven, to the God of heaven, is the only prayer that has any substance at all. So yes, prayer is a conversation, but the conversation has to be between two authentic, earnest beings. Prayer is not in and of itself successful unless it is given and offered to that one who can reply. And so here is where we find Hannah. The reason I named the sermon here, the earnest prayer of a believer. What we see here in Hannah is her earnest nature being delivered and poured out, as it is said, poured out before Yahweh, before God, the being, the self-existent being that can answer prayer. Prayer offered to any other entity has no value at all. Before we get into her prayer, though, let us establish context here for just a moment. Look at the situation before us. First, Hannah lives in what we would call a divided home. Elkanah seems at first glance to be a fair husband, but he had two wives. Now, the Jewish culture of that day looked favorably upon this action, but Scripture never encourages it. Apparently, Hannah was his first wife, but since he could not deliver children, Elkanah married Peninnah. But we must ask of Elkanah, him being a Levite and knowing the ways of God, why did he not wait on the Lord for his children? Much like Abraham, who took Hagar, Elkanah took things into his own hands. And so there was division between these two ladies, these two wives. One would irritate and harass the other one who had children. And Hannah, of course, did not. But Elkanah loved Hannah. He provided for her a double portion. And he thought of himself to be worth more to her than 10 sons. I hate to disappoint him. But let's please look at Hannah's actions in this divided home. And there is great teaching here for us. Hannah, in this divided home, she did not stoop to engage at Peninnah's level. She did not enter into the fray of the conversation and the irritation given to her by the other lady. She took her anguish to the Lord. Hannah sought to glorify the Lord even in her barrenness. Hannah knew that entering into this kind of arrangement with Peninnah was not going to do her any good. And so in her barrenness, she did not engage in the conversation with Peninnah, but she took her anguish to the Lord. Again, great teaching for us. Let's look at Hannah's prayer. Verse 11 of our text. During one of the many times of the visit, Hannah went up to pray. And please hear the words closely. She says, "O Lord of hosts." This is a military term. Lord of hosts. It is the one who would lead an army. And what this designates is one of power. Position, rank, of course, but power, authority. Hannah recognized who she was praying to, the great Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. She refers to him. "If you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." Notice how she refers to herself before the great Yahweh. Notice how she refers to herself before the great Lord, the God of hosts. Three times she refers to herself as a servant. She understood as a servant. She lived at her master's discretion. Humility, submission, acknowledging the honor and the authority of Yahweh, her being a servant. Also notice that while she was pouring out her heart wanting a son, she also acknowledged that if God would answer her prayer, she would then sacrifice. Tells us a lot about Hannah. She was willing to give her son to the Lord to do his will. This is a great lesson for we who are parents and grandparents. Now, our children may not enter directly into the ministry field as we will ultimately get to with Samuel, but our children belong to the Lord God Almighty. We are stewards that have a responsibility of care and teaching and admonition and encouragement and discipline and et cetera, et cetera. But our children belong to the Lord. Here, Hannah takes that very physically and is going to bring Samuel into the ministry, giving him away. Prayer again is a conversation between two earnest beings. Hannah knew her place in submission as a servant. She prayed to God, to Yahweh. She recognized and acknowledged who she was praying to, a God who had compassion and the ability to answer prayer. Hannah's prayer is not a prayer of empty words. And again, I have to bring this to you. So many times we see on television or we see in the public arena, we see someone who says, "Well, I'll pray for you." But then if you know the person well or you have your questions about their being a believer or not, they come across and say, "The prayer and my care for you through prayer is enough." It's much like faith. Do you have faith? Well, faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus. Many have faith in human resourcefulness. Many have faith to just have faith. It has no object. Well, those are empty words. They mean nothing. Prayer to the great Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, that's prayer. That's prayer with tangibility. And it should be always given earnestly. And then comes the criticism. One commentator states, "When you give your best to the Lord, it's not unusual to be criticized by those who should be encouraging you." I could ask for a raising of hands right now, and every one of you would say, "Amen." When you give your best to the Lord, it's not unusual to be criticized by those who should be encouraging you. But please hold in the back of your mind, it's not them you're looking to please. Eli the priest should be encouraging Hannah here. And what does he do? He calls her a drunk. Well, that'd be good. No, Eli doesn't encourage her. He does offer a blessing a bit later, but he never apologizes to her. And as we come to know Eli here in the next couple of chapters, this poses a real situation for Hannah. Eli is not one you would hold up as a model priest. Eli is not one you would hold up as the model individual that you're going to bring your children to and say, "Please take care of them." But yet that's exactly what Hannah is doing. Eli had his own problems. We will learn of Hophni and Phinehas. in chapter 2, and they are considered wicked sons, wicked men, and yet these are the priests who work in the temple. But they will soon be removed from the story. Please notice Hannah's actions in all of this following this exchange with Eli. Here we see in verse 18, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way, and her face was no longer sad. Do you believe God is a God who answers prayer? Do you see in Hannah's physical state, physical presence here, her prayer had already been responded to. She came in weeping. She came in anxiety. She came in suffering under the antagonism of this other. But yet after her time of prayer, she walked away, her face uplifted. God had responded. God had responded. Did Eli do that? No. It was the Spirit of the Lord comforting her spirit. And God did indeed answer her prayer, as we see in verses 19 through 20. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived a son and named him Samuel. I was almost bowled over as I was preparing the sermon, got into the Hebrew a little bit to take Samuel's name apart, because we know that the names mean so much, especially in the Old Testament. The names mean stuff. But when I discovered this, it was like, in Hebrew, his name is Sa'al Samael. I'm glad they shortened it to Samuel for us. Sa'al Samael. Sa'al means asked. Sama means heard. El is a short name for God. Sa'al Samael means asked of God and heard of God. Folks, that's prayer. His name means prayer. It's a conversation. Asked of God and heard of God. Sa'al Samael. Even his name means to pray. Samuel is brought to Eli and given to the Lord for his service. And folks, here is where the courage of Hannah really steps in. And it also, this is an exhibition of her faith. Eli is not a good man. Hophni and Phinehas, the priests who work in the temple, these are not good men. They are abusive. And as I said, God will take them out of the picture here soon. But here, Hannah, staying true to her prayer, to her vow, brought Samuel into their care and said, "Eli, take care of my son." But who was she really bringing Samuel to? To God. Eli was just a face. Her faith in the Lord of hosts, her faith in this powerful being known as Yahweh, she brought her children, her child, and said, "Lord, he belongs to you. Lord, he belongs to you." And as I said, thankfully, Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be taken out of the picture. Now, two words as I draw this to a close. Providence and prayer. 2 weeks ago, as I introduced this book, I spoke of providence. Because through the entire book of Samuel, you will see God's providence at work. His will coming to pass, even through sinful men such as Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. God's decrees coming to pass. Providence is God directing, governing all creatures, actions, and things from the greatest even to the least. By his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge and free and unchanging counsel of his will. God directs and governs all creatures and beings to the outcome of his will. Prayer is the conversation with God, pouring out our hearts and asking, pleading for him to do. So this begs the question, if God is providential, if God is controlling and governing all creatures, actions, and beings, why pray? Well, the great theological questions we have before us. If God is God and He's governing, He's Lord of hosts, militarily powerful and in authority, all things that come to pass at His discretion. But yet He calls on us to pray. Why? Next quarter, Tony is going to teach in his Sunday school a book written by Dr. Douglas Kelly. If God knows, why pray? How would you answer that question? How would we answer that question? Well, that is the great mystery of our relationship with God. And this is the thing that should absolutely overwhelm us as Christians. This is God's desire. He desires and will bring His will to pass. But yet He desires you to be a part of it. He wants you to be that minister involved in the conduct of His will. So through prayer, we realize that we are, I pray, that instrument in God's work. We pray for God's will to come to pass. Just as Hannah prayed, Lord, give me this and I'll do this. She made almost a contract, but please don't take it that far, with the Lord. Jesus Christ states in John 14, truly, truly, I say to you that whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I want a new Mercedes. That doesn't fit, does it? What this means is that by asking in Jesus' name, first of all, we are recognized as ones with authority to pray. Jesus has given us that place before the Father. Secondly, praying in Jesus' name means I am praying the will of the Father to be accomplished. Pastor Tim, how do I know the Father's will? Prayer, study, prayer, study, worship, prayer, Bible reading, studying, worshiping, prayer. You get the point? It is that constant conversation. It's that constant relationship. Why was Hannah able to bring this earnest prayer before the Lord and know that her prayer would be answered? She had that kind of faith and that kind of relationship with Yahweh. Where do you stand? Where do we stand in that relationship with the Lord God? Are our prayers hitting the ceiling and wondering if they go any further than that? Are we in such close communion with the Lord God that when we enter into those times of prayer, we know, just as the children said, He's right here with us all the time. Hannah knew that. God's providence at work. We, through our times of prayer, can enter into that communion with the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, and we can be a part of that will. But we need to be close to the Lord. The earnest prayer of a believer. I believe that when a believer prays in this way, it has to thrill the heart of our Lord. That we have that kind of relationship. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank You that we can come to You in a time of prayer. We have great dependence upon You and Your providential desires and decrees, and that You have allowed us to be a part of Your ministry just overwhelms. But we do pray, Father, for Your will to be done in our lives. Lord, take our children, hold them close. Holy Spirit, come and teach them. Use them in Your ministry wherever and whenever. And like Hannah, we will raise them up, but then we will wean them and turn them over to You. Bless us here this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.